Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Appear to us now, O Lord, in the hearing of your word. Call us and guide us that we may be saved. Amen. The scripture reading is from the New Testament, Matthew 5, 1 through 12, found on page 4 and 5 of the New Testament in your pew Bibles. Please follow along as I read. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Our scripture lesson continues Jesus' Sermon on the Mount here. He addressed the first part of this in the third person, talking about someone, and now he turns speaking directly to the disciples, which, if you're keeping score at home, that's us. Resuming here at verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket or in a canvas tote bag, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord. So today is, if you have missed all of the announcements, our annual meeting that will happen. Actually, we're going to try something new today. We're going to start it right before the end of worship so that our closing hymn is the opening hymn of the annual meeting and our sending song is the song we sing at the end of the annual meeting. That's to keep you all here because I know you won't leave until you've sung that. Actually, lunch is to keep you all here. So let's be honest, I'm just like the pre-dinner entertainment. Now, at an annual meeting, we reflect on the mission of the church. We reflect on who we are and where we are called as people of God's mission. And Covenant Presbyterian Church has a perfectly good, clear mission statement. It is printed on your bulletin just in case you've forgotten it. We serve as, look at you all pull out your bulletin, you're great. We serve as Christ's disciples by lifting one another through loving and caring relationships for the glory of God. And we do. We lift each other. I can feel that here. We are this community of mutual support as we care about and sustain each other as children of God. And that's this like beautiful countercultural thing, to be a community that gathers together to support each other in God's presence despite and beyond anything that would otherwise divide us from each other. That's a beautiful thing. There's something transformative about being community despite the ways that the world would otherwise try to either categorize us or separate us from each other. A colleague of mine, Dennis Sanders, describes how he recognized this. He grew up in the African American church, and he wrote this: "Growing up in the African American church, I heard all the adults in the church being called Brother So-and-so and Sister So-and-so. As a kid, I was confused. Why were they calling each other brother and sister when they weren't? But it wasn't until college that I understood. It was not until maybe 50 years ago that African American adults were no longer called boy or a woman's first name. As Reverend Martin Luther King wrote in his letter from Birmingham jail, these names were used to make sure African Americans knew their status in society. But the black church was one of the few places in the world where they were given names of personhood. The black church created another universe where they were not second-class citizens, but were viewed as worthy in the eyes of God. The black church created another universe where people were not second-class citizens, but were viewed as worthy in the eyes of God." Now, Covenant Presbyterian Church comes from a place of much more privilege, not from a place where we spend the rest of our week being systematically dehumanized. But we still bear witness to that same gospel. We bear witness to that same gospel when we choose to view all of God's children as worthy, and especially those who otherwise are devalued by the world around us. When Jesus calls the church salt and light, he's calling us to be part of another reality, to be part of that new universe that God is bringing into the world, that reality that he calls here the kingdom of heaven. And we're called to be part of that kingdom of heaven, not for our own sake, but for the sake of the world. Just like salt and light exist not for their own sake, but for the sake of eating and for the sake of seeing. So I noted in my annual report, if you haven't read your annual report, now you know one thing from it. I noted in my annual report that for a church with a mission statement that talks about lifting one another, we are awfully outwardly focused. I think we are more outwardly focused than our mission statement actually captures. We are a deeply mission church. We are driven by God's mission to the world, and we seek to participate in that mission out beyond ourselves. And when we ask where we are called, we're asking where we're called both together as a congregation and outwardly in the life of the world. When we ask where we're called, we are asking where we see those signs of God's kingdom of heaven breaking into earth. And where are we best positioned to reveal that kingdom of heaven as it comes to earth? Now, when I ask Covenant Presbyterian Church to identify the kingdom of heaven at work, it's like a beat and a half before someone says San Ysidro. It's right there at the tip of our tongues when we're trying to understand where do we see the kingdom of heaven? Where do we recognize the new reality that God is bringing into this world? And we bring that up not only because of the ways that that community's life critiques our wealth and our habits of life as Americans, but it's also about how we see that community and the mutual support that is shared by that community, the way we see that reflecting what the kingdom of heaven is about. There's no mistake that we find the kingdom of heaven revealed most clearly in the place where we come face to face with human need. Now, after San Ysidro comes up, there's usually at least someone who is definitely thinking and sometimes saying out loud, "Now, I wish we would serve closer to home. I wish we would do something like that closer to 28th and Ashworth here in West Des Moines." And there's a lot of value in that as well. I think there's value in finding the kingdom of heaven in many different contexts. And for some of us, getting out of our context helps us to better see the kingdom of heaven. And for some of us, being called back into our context is a way of embodying the kingdom of heaven. It's both. So I ask rhetorically where we would find San Ysidro in Polk County, or some of you live in Dallas County. You can find it in Dallas County. You who live in Warren County, I don't know what to do with you. What are you, like Adair County? Cass County? You're on your own, man. When I wonder where we would find San Ysidro in our own neighborhood, what I'm really asking is, where are our neighbors nearby longing for that same kingdom of heaven that we bear witness to, that we try to develop and nurture among this congregation, that we bear witness to in San Ysidro, that God is continuing to bring into the world? Well, the good news is, Jesus has told us some beatitudes. That word beatitude means blessing. And you heard every one of those phrases begin with blessed are, right? Blessed are those. The Beatitudes are an announcement. They're an announcement of the kingdom that comes for those who are most longing for it. That's not always how we read the Beatitudes. We often turn the Beatitudes into like a set of instructions, like, here's how to be blessed, right? As if we somehow have to earn God's love and earn God's blessing. Only Jesus is not telling us, for the most part anyway, things that we could ever possibly achieve on our own, right? Nobody goes out and finds a way to mourn. Nobody goes out and finds a way to be persecuted or to hunger and thirst for justice so desperately because you can't live without it. Now, we can develop some of those appetites, right? Maybe meekness or purity or peacemaking, maybe those are things we could do, but even so, I don't think that's the point. Because I think what Jesus is saying here is that this is where the kingdom breaks in. The kingdom of heaven breaks into the world in the lives of those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, in the lives of those who mourn, in the lives of those who are merciful. That's where we need to look for signs of the kingdom of heaven as it breaks in. Those are the situations that we should value and honor. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven comes for the sake of those who are spiritually empty, for the sake of those who are mourning, for the sake of those who are meek and desperate and striving, longing for peace in their world. And Jesus is talking to the disciples. He's talking to us about where to seek the kingdom of heaven, where to find it. And we find the kingdom of heaven, he announces, in the lives of those who are not content with the way that things are, with the ones for whom the status quo does not work. And that's not because every misfit is automatically virtuous, right? We're not talking about virtue here. We're talking about where lives are ready for the change that is the kingdom of heaven breaking into the world. If Jesus identifies the people who long for the kingdom, then we learn that the kingdom of heaven is comfort and belonging and justice and mercy and consolation in God's presence. But this is a sermon, and so someone needs to give some instructions around here. That's why it's good that Jesus went on into what we read as the scripture lesson. Jesus gives us the instruction then to go live as salt and light, to go and transform the earth with heaven's flavor, to shine heaven's light into the world. And the places we are to do it are in those lives that are most longing for the kingdom of heaven. We are to go offer comfort and belonging and justice and mercy and consolation for the sake of those who most need them. And he calls that righteousness. God's righteousness, that faithfulness in relationship with one another, which means we have to look for those whom Jesus has named as blessed and act on their behalf. Act alongside them and honor the ways that their lives point us toward the kingdom of heaven. So we're called to tend and nurture the kingdom of heaven wherever it is most likely to grow. As Dennis Sanders described in The Church of His Childhood, we're called to live into a new reality where each person is treated as worthy, which means we especially have to attend to the lives of those people the world devalues. And attending to those people the world devalues, the ones Jesus named as blessed, means that we get on the side of the change, the transformation, the new life that God is already up to. That's how we get ready for the kingdom of heaven. So as we look later on, not too long from now, at the ways that we've served and ask where we are called to continue partnering, that's where to look. In those lives of those people who are longing for transformation into the kingdom of heaven. This prayer was written by the Presbyterian Church USA Office of Theology and Worship in response to this passage. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, for you are holy and gracious and good. You are the hope of all the faithful. Empower the meek and encourage the poor. Comfort those who mourn and fill humble hearts with gladness. Give food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, peace to the peacemakers, mercy to the merciful, and honor to the despised. Sustain your saints in ministry until at last they see their reward, the joy of eternal life with you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
We do have a flyer in your bulletin about our upcoming blood drive. And Warren, if you'll come up and share a little bit more about the blood drive with us, now's the time. Come on up.
Well, as I've mentioned many times in this church, we all wear multiple hats. So today I got my blood donor volunteer hat on. Anybody that watches TV or listens to the radio, the last week you've heard about how short they are on our blood supply. Combination of snow causing cancellations of scheduled blood drives, and more importantly, ill people who are getting deferred. I don't know about you, but I had something upper respiratory for 4 weeks. I don't know where it came from or where I got it, but see, I would have been deferred. Back in December, I sent out an email to, I think, about anybody and everybody that we had an email address on, asking you to consider giving another donation prior to December 28th. So they were running low of blood in mid-December. But anyway, we've got a blood drive scheduled here at Covenant on a Friday for the first time, a Friday afternoon, February 22nd. In the bulletins, if you could just give me your name and a couple of times that you might be available to donate between 2 and 6, I can add it to our master list out in the hallway, or you can just sign up on it. I have a lot of regular donors that I appreciate. They just sign up automatically. But we're going to try, like I say, a Friday afternoon, the 22nd of February, 2 to 6. And we were talking this morning about, you know, if you run out of money, you can go out and usually find a place to borrow some money. Blood's very unique. There isn't any place you can go out and borrow some blood or buy some blood. It only comes from people like you and I. Now, there's a lot of people trying to get an artificial blood developed, and if they do, I want to buy stock in it, trust me. But until that happens, we're very dependent on all of our blood has to come from you and I and our neighbors and friends. So give it a thought. If you need more information about what donating the process is like, talk to me. I can convince you it's not that hard to do. Give it some thought. Thank you.
Thank you, Warren. I'm not allowed to give blood. My blood is too crucial to myself. I have an autoimmune disease. But my challenge for you is if you're not able to give blood, see if you can find someone that will give blood at the Covenant Blood Drive in your place. That might be a fun challenge to get a few extra people in there.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.